final conversation with head coach Bill Belichick for the year 2008.
Hey, Coach.
Coach, thanks for caring and thanks for coming by once again.
Sure, Pete. For it, Steve. Yep.
Coach. Well, let's just start with your game. We know what results and initial results were with the Jets or the final results, but just your game. I was interested to know, you get off the plane. I'm sure you know what Friday night you arrive in Buffalo?
Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Probably not as windy as it was on Sunday, but when you walked into the stadium on Sunday and you saw one goalpost facing one way and the other one facing the other way, what were your thoughts about having to readjust your game plan right there and then?
Well, actually, Pete, we talked about it Friday. The forecast was for high winds all week, and we talked about it Friday and ran a few plays in practice that we thought would be considerations in that kind of situation. And then on Saturday, we talked about it again, and we, again, walked through some more plays that we thought would be more windy plays. And then Saturday night, we actually showed quite a few plays from the Giants-Buffalo game from 2007, which is the week before we played the Giants at the end of the year. And that was a very windy day, not probably quite as bad as what we had, but it was very windy, and the wind was from the same direction. So we talked a little bit about kicking plays, the ball blown towards their bench, ball handling, you know, so forth and so on. And I think we were pretty well prepared for the situation. I thought the players handled the wind conditions well. We were judicious about the shotgun snaps and had two third down punts, so that kind of tells you how much we were respectful of just the whole ball handling operation between the snapper and the punter.
Well, you won the toss, the coin toss, and then deferred.
No, we won the toss and took the win.
Yeah,
okay.
We defended the far goal. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you chose to. Okay, we had a call asking about what the procedure was on that. The idea was to get the wind right away.
Yes, okay. It was to take the wind. We felt like the wind was more important than possession of the ball.
Okay.
And, we wanted to start with the field position. I just wish we could have gotten a little more out of it there in the first quarter. Buffalo was able to pick up two first downs on the ground, which ate up some time. And we had, of course, the field goal, but we, were hoping for maybe a little bit more there. We just didn't get it in terms of, defensive stops and offensive production. We ended up with a 3-and-out there on our first offensive series. So, we were hoping to start the game a little bit, take a little more advantage of that win than what we were able to do. But, that's the way it goes.
Was it the kickoff that Slade almost got? Or the punt?
No, it was the punt.
The punt. And he looked like his fingers touched.
They did touch.
Yes.
Calvin,
they did.
Right. But the momentum of the ball took it in the end zone, so it was a touchback. Okay. I mean, when they recovered it, had we recovered it, it would have been, it would have been points.
Even if it looked like the guy that recovered it was trying
Jackson.
To run with it, even if that's the case, it's still a touchback.
Oh yeah, no.
It was Jackson that recovered it. That's what we were worried because they really didn't show the replay on TV. They showed the touch in McKelvin's fingers, but they didn't really give us a great view of when Jackson started to run out of the end zone, and we couldn't and it kind of.
Yeah, I didn't see all that.
Yeah.
I just
didn't either.
The explanation the official gave was that that the ball did touch McKelvin.
Yeah.
And then Slater.
It touched McKelvin, so it was a
free ball,
but they recovered it in the end zone.
Right.
And he didn't get into the running out and all that. I didn't really see that.
Right.
Now, did the wind subside at all in the second half? Because Edwards threw a little bit more.
No, I think it just it gusted, and so there were times when it wasn't as bad as at other times, but it was steady blowing, and it was a factor on every play.
Because he threw the ball. Edwards threw a couple times pretty effectively.
Yeah, he threw it. I think if you throw it short and kind of line drive it like Castle did to Welker right before a touchdown, or like he did to Kevin Faulk on the little halfback option route there on third and seven, I think on plays like that, if you just drive the ball hard, you can get it in there. The thing you can't do is really arc it up into that wind. Or
did you ever see a field goal with the first one they kicked? He kicked it like the Buffalo kick, kicked it 10 yards to the left.
Well, it looked like it was going right through.
It
wasn't even close at the end.
The only time I've ever seen a situation like that was it was a long time ago. It was like in the 40s, late 60s. Navy played Vanderbilt in a game, and the ball actually went up across the upright and then got blown back onto the field, and the kick was no good, and they lost 35-34. So I remember that play just because it was the play of the game. But it was that. So, but yeah, this was as strong a wind as I've ever.
But it was circling, right? Because it kind of swirled around the stadium.
It was kind of coming from our bench across to the Buffalo bench and going down the field from the closed end into the tunnel where we came out. So it was kind of quartering from like the one corner of the field to the other corner of the field. But then it did swirl and it did gust, so it was a little bit unpredictable.
Well, the extra point, didn't it blow back out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, the cross first, thank God. Then it blew back out.
Yeah.
There are no 50-yard field goals in that game.
But that's going to be...
Well, in pregame, Steve hit one from 65 going the other way.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, I mean, so distance wasn't the problem. It was just whether you get it through the uprights. And, you know, we saw Lindell's kick look like one of my four irons.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But, I mean, you can prepare a little bit for wetness, rain, even slippery. You can prepare, but it must be near impossible to prepare for that kind of a condition.
Yes.
You can't simulate it in practice.
I mean, yeah, those were, they said 70 yeah. mile an hour winds. I mean, we, you know, you just don't have 70 mile an hour winds. Yeah. So it was, the best preparation for it, obviously, was in pregame warmup of just going out and kind of, you know, the quarterbacks threw the ball in different directions, you know, with the wind, against the wind, to the right side, to the left side, over the middle, longer, shorter, just to kind of get a sense of it. And I think, you know, by the time we were ready to play the game, that Matt and Kevin, we talked to both of them, and I think they both had a pretty good feel of these are the routes I can throw, these are the routes that I can't throw. When we called the bootleg on fourth and two or fourth mm-hmm. and three, we had that play set up to go to our right, and that was really into the wind. And we actually called a timeout before the play and talked about it. And, you know, our feeling was that it was going to be a tough throw even to the fullback in the flat, that we would really have to drive it. But, you know, Matt was thinking, well, run first. And it did open up for him, and he got it on the run. It was a heads-up play by mm-hmm. Castle to see it that quickly and get the first down, not even chance the throw. So, you know, I think that's just another example of Matt's maturity, decision-making, and you know, execution in that game.
Do you think Dick Geron tried to surprise you with third down and, what was it, five on the 10-yard line, third and goal, was it? And he hit a quick dive with no timeouts, and he couldn't spike
the
ball.
At the end of the half.
Well, I think he was trying to catch everyone off guard, but no one anticipated a run.
You know, I'm not really sure if he was just trying to get, you know, they had already missed the one field goal, and maybe he was trying to get a few more yards. Because believe me, I understand every yard in that game was important to kick. But, you know, that's the risky run. I think there were like 22 seconds or something like that when the ball was snapped, which should be enough time. But then at the end of the play, you know, their linemen, we got kind of a little pushing and shoving thing. And there was no need to reset the clock. And the referee didn't. And I don't think he should have. And that just, you know, it just knocked him out of it. And so, you know, I know in a situation like that, we certainly try to emphasize to our players, you know, you can't get in any push and shoving matches in a two-minute situation or at the end of the game. You just got to forget about it and you know, deal with it after the game. We can't afford it then.
Obviously, on the offense, you're going to want to control the ball on the ground. How much did you use Hochstein as tight end and fullback?
Oh, quite a bit. Yeah. It was about two-thirds of the game.
And they have much of an adjustment in that situation? Did they do any personnel groups? Or
they no, they pretty much played it the way that they would play. Because he was in and out of there quite a bit, mm-hmm. Sometimes he was a tight end, sometimes he was at fullback. Heath was in, Dave Thomas. We had different combinations. I think they just treated all that group as a two-tight end, two-back group, mm-hmm. and they used their regular adjustments until right at the end of the game when they went to a 5-3 front. But the rest of the time, they were kind of in their normal you know, they had everybody up on the line of scrimmage, but it was their normal defensive personnel.
Jackson had, I think, 103 yards in the first half. The second half, besides that garbage 19-yard run at the end, he really, I think, if I mean, my math is right, was like 5 for only 13 yards. You surprised how little he was that it went to him in the second half?
Well, we had a lot of trouble tackling him, and he bounced, seemed like, I don't know how many times, where it looked like we got him, and then all of a sudden he squirted out of there. So he's a terrific back, good balance, strong runner. You know, we had trouble with him in the first game. Everybody has trouble with him and Lynch. Those two guys are both excellent runners. So, of course, Lynch didn't play, but that was just more carries for Jackson, and that was no bargain. He's very good.
You know, you said after the game how proud you are of this team, and you had all these injuries and come off with 11-5. It's amazing how everyone started playing more on the same page as it went on, and Matt Castle, and then everyone gelled. That offense gelled, and the defense gelled. It was an amazing run. I mean, a phenomenal coaching job. Where does this rank with you? I know it's a tough question, but it just seems like to have that amount of players hurt and the guys fill in and still play at that level is a pretty astonishing year.
Well, thanks, Fred. I just I thought that we played our best football toward the end of the year. And, you know, we played our final five games in bad weather. The first three rain, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Oakland, and then snow in Arizona, and then heavy winds against Buffalo. So, you know, I thought that the players, especially the offensive guys, really handled those conditions pretty well. You know, didn't turn the ball over, ran the ball, were able to take advantage of the opportunities that we had. And, you know, I'm proud of the way the team just kept improving all year. And the fact that we played better at the end of the year than the middle or the beginning, I think it's a testament to the hard work of the players and their commitment to getting better, getting things corrected, getting them fixed, and moving on. And they, I thought they did a great job of that. So, of course, we're disappointed at the end. And you know, after the Pittsburgh game, which was a disappointing game, the players did all they could do. They won their last four games, and ultimately it didn't get us into the playoffs, but it's all they could do. And so I respect that. I respect the way they played, and you know, it was a good collective effort. Our assistant coaches did a great job of preparation, and again, with the conditions and so forth that we had to deal with in the last third of the season, I thought that, you know, as a team, we handled it pretty well.
Besides, we saw obviously what Castle did and Mayo. Besides those two guys, any of the younger guys surprise you or step up of note?
Well, I thought we got contributions from a lot of those players. Steve, of course, Ben Jarvis in the first Buffalo game. It was a guy that was pretty nondescript, was on the practice squad, and then ended up contributing quite a bit. You know, Jonathan Wilhite got a little bit of playing time as a nickelback early in the year, and then started the last, I think it was the last four or five games of the year at corner, as well as playing a nickelback, and I thought that he played very competitively. You know, we got good plays in the kicking game out of Slater. You know, Wheatley helped us when he was in there, and then, of course, he got hurt against Indianapolis, and that was it for him. But I thought that he certainly showed some signs. And, you know, Kevin was just didn't really get an opportunity to do much this year, as neither did Sean Crable. But, you know, we think both those guys have a chance to help us in the future. So, you know, overall, I think it was a good young group that, you know, when you throw Guyton and Ben Jarvis in there, you know, two guys that weren't drafted, as well as you know, Ty DeVry, who you know, played some in the tight end, showed a little bit of promise. That it was a pretty good young group.
Now, how long before they start knocking at the door with the Castle thing? You know, he's going to be a free agent this year, and the season's over, right? They can just start, just come a pound.
Yeah. Well, I don't really think there's, you know, there's really a door to knock on. I mean, every team has to make its roster decisions between now and the start of free agency in March, and you know, we'll go through the process and look at all of our personnel options and so forth, and due course, you know, do what we feel like is best for our football team going forward. So I don't really know what that is, and there's no time frame for it, but, you know, we'll start the evaluation process in a couple weeks and just work our way through it.
I find it interesting, though. Beginning of the year, a lot of people said Belichick made a huge mistake not getting a veteran like Culpepper in here. And you said, just give him a chance. I heard you say that to me before. And, you know, you're vindicated. No one thought a million years.
Vindicated again.
You watch him in practice in every game. And Steve brought this up. When preseason games virtually are just a practice and you get to see him every day, did you think he had this within him?
Well, I think that Matt improved through the course of the year. No, I don't think he played as well at the end of the year as he did at the beginning. But I do think that Matt worked hard and improved every single week. And, you know, again, that's a real credit to him and, you know, his diligence and his coachability, that whether it be on a practice field, in meetings, in a classroom, in film sessions, or in games, the things that he experienced, he learned from, he improved on, and he got better, you know, week by week all the way through the season. And so that was, you know, very encouraging. I don't know if any of us know how far he can go, but he's continued to progress and get better every week. So, you know, I don't think he's really hit that point where he's leveled off yet. So he's got a great future ahead of him in this league.
So how much of that is the system and how much is it the individual?
Well, I think the system is pretty much what it is. This has been our system for, you know, really since 2000 when we came here. But I think most of the credit, you know, goes to Matt for what he did, but certainly Josh McDaniels did a great job of tutoring him and you know, preparing him to play and execute our offensive system. And that's not just this year, but, you know, all the way through the course of his four-year career here. So I'm sure that Matt, you know, learned a lot this year, but he also learned a lot in those other 3 years and, you know, watching Tom and seeing the offense function, that you know, he knows how a lot of those things are supposed to work, and he got a chance to do them, and he showed he could execute.
You see, most of the guys, that a lot of guys come in the league, understand that also, but his decision making was.
It was excellent. It just got better and better. Yeah, it sure did. There were a lot of times where he threw the ball away, or you know, even took a sack that rather than lose the possession of the ball, and when he had to make good decisions on third and fourth down, he made a lot of great ones, be it scrambles or. You know, throwing the ball and you know, making the plays at the right time.
Yeah, report out yesterday. I know this is annoying, but we have to ask you. Report out yesterday, Brady's behind schedule. Report today from Peter King and a couple others that he's ahead of schedule as far as his rehab goes. Is there anything that you can share with us about his condition, or we have to wait till July when the first exhibition game is scheduled?
I'd love to.
I know you would. Really. I know you would.
Yeah, you tell just don't get into the injuries. So.
But he has been around, and he's
been
working out.
Tom's here on a daily basis. Yeah.
And people, you know, people call up all the time and say, why isn't Tom on the sidelines? You try to explain, if a guy has a bad knee and you want him around with these.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be.
Look at Charlie Weiss, and as quick, as agile as Charlie is, he couldn't get out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I kind of got bumped over myself there last week in Arizona.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. We were trying to figure out if that was you or not. I forget to ask you. We saw it. We thought. Remember that? We were watching, and we said, mm-hmm. I think Bill just went down.
Where'd you run into Borges?
you know, Adam took a pretty good shot on that. I think he's okay, but I was looking for him on the injury report.
That would be embarrassing.
Now, this time of year, a bunch of coaches have already been fired. People are knocking on your door about Scott Pioli. Do you worry about losing coaches and personnel people like Scott Pioli? Possibly, you know, I'm sure Josh's name is going to pop up in rumors here and there. Is that something you worry about, or you just kind of go with the flow? If it happens, it happens. If not, then...
Well, I think you deal with it on a case-by-case basis, Pete. You know, if something comes up, then we, you know, we deal with it and, you know, follow the rules that are set up by the league for, you know, granting position, interviewing candidates and so forth. And, you know, with people that have been here, going back to, you know, Charlie and Romeo and so forth, you know, all those people have done a great job in helping this organization be successful. And we're proud of what we've done and what they've done and what their contribution's been. And if an opportunity comes up that's, you know, a great one for them that we just can't match, then, you know, then we understand that, and that's business. And, you know, every team has personnel changes every year, and, you know, we don't want to lose anybody, but we understand that there's some opportunities that we just can't match. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, then, you know, it happens.
Well, as a door closes, another one opens. So some guys, your friend, old Charlie, you know, Mangini, is out there.
No, do you?
I had to ask you. You told me to ask it.
Do you even know what to do in January without being able to coach football? How long has it been? 2002.
It's certainly, you know, it's not where you want to be. You want to be playing right to the end. Yep. But that being said, since we're not there, we'll try to take advantage of this time and use it the best way we can to evaluate what we're doing, help build our team, scout the college draft prospects, and just kind of get the jump on those things. And, you know, I think for the players, we've been through two real long seasons with the 06 season, the AFC Championship game, and then last year, you know, playing into February. So, you know, a lot of these guys have had very short off seasons, and, you know, I think some extra rest and a jump on the off season program. Again, as much as we don't want to be in this situation, since this is where we are, that, you know, that'll be they'll be able to, you know, use that to their advantage, and hopefully we can use that time to our advantage in terms of getting our 2009 team ready.
Well, that shows you what I think. I'm thinking beach time and skiing, and you're thinking
beach time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get out of here. Well, Bill, what are you gonna be, shade?
Bill, do you think you'll watch more college football over the next month, or more the playoffs in the NFL? I know it's tough.
Well, I think that, you know, most of the college football that I watch is game tape. You know, it's watching players. But I'm sure we'll see a few bowl games and you know, probably watch some of the playoff games. I mean, a number of the teams that we've played are in the playoffs, so it'll be interesting to see how they do and how they match up. And, of course, next year we play the NFC South, so we get Carolina and Atlanta on our schedule next year. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how those
– And then send you guys to Indy again.
At Indy and Baltimore. So, you know, Baltimore's another team on next year's schedule that's in postseason play. So, I mean, there's a number of teams there that, you know, we're going to see sooner or later. We'll see how that
goes. Who do you think should be the toughest team in the AFC? I mean, Baltimore's been playing well, but
Well, nobody's been playing better than Indy. You know, they've won nine straight. Mm-hmm. I think they could be, you know, very dangerous, and they match up pretty well against, you know, I think they match up well against San Diego. San Diego hasn't, you know, had a great year defending the passing game, and we know that Indy can throw it, and they've already beaten Tennessee. And
Pittsburgh they beat.
You know, I'm sure, yeah.
Baltimore they beat. So,
you know, I think that they're, I don't want to say they're a team to beat, but I think they're very dangerous, let's put it that way.
With Manning playing the way he is.
Well, and, you know, and they played good defense here, you know, the latter part of the season, too. You know, shut out Tennessee last week. I know it was the last game of the year, but, you know, still they've, you know, they've played well. So I think you got to be careful of them.
Yeah, some rookie coaches did very well this year, and two of them with rookie quarterbacks. It's not that common in the NFL.
No, it sure isn't. You know, I think that all of us were kind of surprised to see, you know, Flacco and Ryan not do well, but, you know, to be in the playoffs and as well as they have. And, you know, they've got good players around them. Certainly both of them have good running games. And, you know, Turner's good back at Atlanta, so. They got some guys they can give it to and take a little pressure off the passing game, but they've done well in terms of managing the game, not turning the ball over, making good decisions. So, you know, that's
it's the BC pedigree.
What's one of the what's one thing that a rookie head coach might have to look out for in the playoffs that they might not know about? Is there anything that any? I mean, is it a change of routine? Is it whatever it is? Is there something out there?
Intensity.
That, you know,
I think the whole thing about the playoffs to me is that every team in the playoffs is good. Obviously, they wouldn't be there. So every game is really you expect to be very close, tight game. And there are so many situations, so many one plays, any play in the game that could change the outcome of the game that it's and everybody's at that same point in the season there at the end of the season where they have all their stuff in. They have all their plays in. They have all their gadgets in. They have all their situational plays in. So I just think you have to do a real good job of preparing your team and then making decisions during the game in those critical situations because obviously so much is at stake and you're up against another real good football team where there's very little margin for error. So really, I guess the best way to put it would be, you know, every play could really be the play of the game. I know it's like that every week, but it seems like in the playoffs it's even more competitive than that because you have arguably the best 12 teams out there.
Right. All right, Coffee with the Coach brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. And, Coach, time now for the final time this year for our CleanEnergyAction.net Coach's Question of the Week. This week's question comes from Bob Enrique. He asks, Coach, where do you rate Mayo's first year at linebacker versus other good, great linebackers?
Well, I'd rate it pretty high. I think that, you know, Gerard, first of all, I don't think he missed a practice all year or a game. I mean, he was out there consistently. He got better every day in practice. I think he showed all the aspects of a good inside linebacker, stopping the run, tackling, range, pass coverage. So formation recognition, adjustments. He's a smart kid. So I think he had a lot of positives in just about everything he did. I think the thing for him is to just build on that, his consistency. And to continue to recognize things a little bit quicker now that he's, you know, been through it a year. Plays, situations, play action, route combinations, misdirection plays, things like that. To just, you know, gain a half a step on some of those plays and he'll be even more productive. But
Bill,
I think he had a real good year.
You know, you generally don't draft. Have you ever drafted a first-round pick since head coach as a linebacker?
Craig Powell at Cleveland. I mean, you know, he tore up his knee his first year, but other than that, no.
So evaluating this guy, I would, you know, because we talked about earlier, it's easy to evaluate guys in the pros because you see them.
Well, I mean, we had, you know, Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor and those guys, but I wasn't the head coach there, but, you know, they were, yeah, for sure.
But to evaluate him, and how do you, it's easy to evaluate, like you said, guys in the NFL because you see them against more complex systems and know how they can assimilate all that information. What made him stand out to you when you took a look at him?
Well, I would say that the things that stood out about Gerard in college were, number one, the level of competition he played against. He played against some very good football teams with good backs, you know, LSU and Georgia and teams like that, Florida, you know, guys that were fast, that were elusive. And I thought that he showed a lot of range and very good tackling in the open field in those games. And Tennessee, you know, again, in that conference, they saw a lot of spread and wide-open offenses. So you could see him in the passing game. You could see how much range and quickness and coverage ability he had, and I thought he did a good job on that. So You know, his level of competition was high, and I thought his production was high in both the running game and the passing game in Tennessee. And plus the other thing is you see a lot of other, you know, Tennessee's had a lot of good linebackers come out of there in the last few years, so it's easy to kind of compare him with some of the other guys you've seen. And I think he, you know, against relative competition, stacked up pretty good.
Every Patriots Monday this year, when we talk to the coach, you'll have a chance to submit your question for us to ask the coach at WEI.com's football contest page. If your question is chosen, well, you automatically win that $100 gift card. The all-new Davio's at Patriot Place. The coach's question, powered all season by theclean.org. When you log on to theclean.org, you'll find that a strong wind can do a lot more than push that winning field goal through the uprights, just like yesterday. Tap your energy cost and alternatives at theclean.org today. Well, Coach, I want to thank you once again for a fine season coming down here. I'm sorry it ended the way it did, that a play here, a play there, and a play here, a play there by that team down the road.
If you didn't play the worst game by any quarterback.
I want to thank you and Stacy and all the Patriots personnel for having us down here. It's been an honor and a pleasure once again, and best of luck during the offseason.
Well, thank you, Pete, and Fred, Steve. I appreciate your support. It's been a lot of fun being on with you guys on a weekly basis, and for the fans for listening and the questions they send in and all that. The support's been awesome, and I know it's a long way off, but you know, we're looking forward to next year and hope that we can be playing football this time of year next year.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Coach. Thanks, Coach. Have a happy new year.